This episode is sponsored by Kinsta. Between juggling client meetings, managing your website, and keeping up with everyday tasks, who has the time to stress out about website security? Well, with Kinsta, the technical stuff is taken care of, so you can focus on what you do best. Kinsta provides managed hosting for WordPress, offering lightning-fast load times, top-tier security, and unmatched human-only customer support. Whether you're a business owner, web developer, or running a digital agency, Kinsta makes managing your website easy and efficient. Kinsta provides enterprise-grade security, being one of the few hosting providers for WordPress with SOC 2 and other certifications, guaranteeing the highest level of security for your website. Thanks to their unlimited free expert-led migrations, Kinsta ensures a smooth transition for you from other hosting providers. Customers have reported 200% faster load times post-migration to their platform. What I find cool about Kinsta is their fast and reliable customer service and premium features that are included at no extra cost. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. That's Kinsta.com. Today's episode is brought to you by RapidCloud. Did you know that 53% of users abandon a website that takes more than 3 seconds to load? For businesses relying on WordPress, every second counts for user experience, conversions, SEO rankings, and revenue. And that's where RapidCloud comes in. RapidCloud is a high-performance managed WordPress hosting solution with advanced technologies like Lightspeed Enterprise and Object Cache Pro designed to deliver lightning-fast load times and handle the demands of today's dynamic websites. Whether you're running an e-commerce store, online learning platform, or a bustling media site, RapidCloud ensures lightning-fast performance, unmatched scalability, and enterprise-grade security, all backed by 24/7 expert support. RapidCloud empowers developers, business owners, and agencies to deliver seamless online experiences without ever worrying about downtime or slow load times. Use the promo code CODESTORY to get up to 25% off on all annual plans and 10% off monthly subscriptions. Offer valid for 2 billing periods only. That's promo code CODESTORY, all one word. Visit www.rapid.cloud and get started today. That's rapyd.cloud.
We had this vision of monitoring as code in mind from the start, but Checkly got early traction. Right, so we had paying customers that came to us without even supporting monitoring as code. We started to solve their problems for months without even investing time into our vision. After almost 2 years, actually, we took a step back thinking about, okay, that's cool that we're having customers, that we're having paying customers, but what is the bigger problem that we actually want to solve? And really thought about, okay, we need to invest time into monitoring as code. And that's what we did. The first iteration wasn't great, to be honest. My name is Hannes Lenke. I'm co-founder and CEO of Checkly.
This is Code Story, a podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries.
It's 6 months moonlighting.
There's nothing at the back end.
Who share what it takes to change an industry.
I don't exactly know what
to do next.
Took
many goes to get right.
Who built the teams that have their back.
A company is its people.
The teams help each other achieve.
Most proud of our team.
Keeping scalability top of mind.
All that infrastructure was a
pain. Yes, we've been fighting it as we grow.
Total waste of time. The stories you don't read in the headlines.
It's not an easy thing to achieve, mind
you. Took it off the shelf and dusted it off and tried it again.
To ride the ups and downs of the startup life.
You need to really
it's
want it.
Not just about technology.
All this and more on Code Story. I'm your host, Noah Labhart, and today, Hannes Lenke is helping you detect and resolve your issues 10x faster using code-first synthetic monitoring. This episode is sponsored by Speakeasy. Grow your API user adoption and improve engineering velocity with friction-free integration experiences. With Speakeasy's platform, you can now automatically generate SDKs in 10 languages and Terraform providers in minutes. Visit speakeasy.com/codestory and generate your first SDK for free. This message is sponsored by QA Wolf. QA Wolf gets engineering teams to 80% automated end-to-end test coverage and helps them ship 5 times faster by reducing QA cycles from hours to minutes. With over 100 five-star reviews on G2 and customer testimonials from SalesLoft, Drata, and AutoTrader, you're in good hands. Join the Wolfpack at qawolf.com. Hannes Lenke was born in East Germany. He started tinkering with computers at an early age and became interested in making games at the age of 10. Once the browsers came out, he quickly dove into the world of web development. He also has a background in trading stocks, which he started when he was 14, along with software development consulting for enterprise. Outside of tech, he's married with two daughters. He lives in a small town close to Berlin and enjoys running, rowing, and cooking out on his grill. In 2010, Hannes founded a startup centered around testing. Post-exit, he noticed that more and more businesses were using end-to-end testing, and the world was changing toward DevOps and observability. He decided that a new tool needed to be made along the lines of synthetic monitoring. This is the creation story of Checkly.
We at Checkly, we help companies to keep their websites, services, APIs reliable and fast, and actually also error-free, right? So we ensure that a website works from an end-user perspective. We believe that developers should understand how the services that they're building are doing on production, and they should get paged about issues quickly. We're applying pretty much testing in production, so we're helping our customers to develop automated test scripts and run them against their production system continuously. And there's a word for it, which is synthetic monitoring. That's what we do. We call it even more monitoring as code, because essentially we allow our customers to use real code from within their code repositories and upload them to our monitoring platform, where our CLI or other mechanisms like Terraform, etc., and then run these tests from 20 different data centers worldwide to really ensure that their applications, APIs and services are running like a charm. I founded one startup in 2010 in testing, mobile testing, and back then we helped test automation people and test automation engineers to ensure that their mobile apps are working on production and on staging. We sold that business to Source Labs end of 2016, and what I've seen there is lots of companies that are developing end-to-end tests are using these tests to really understand how their applications are doing on production, right? So really making sure that they capture problems there. Realizing that in 2019, I thought, okay, the world is changing towards cross-functional teams, DevOps teams, etc. On the other side, you already have companies realizing what we do in production monitoring doesn't fit our processes. We need to use end-to-end tests and to really understand if our website, APIs, etc. are up or down. I figured, okay, we need a new tool that is really made for developers, made for that use case, because there wasn't a tool back then. I tried to find solutions on the internet that are really solving that kind of problem. I recognized that there was a Dutch guy living in Berlin, like 2 kilometers away from me, creating a side project called Checkly back then. Tim became a co-founder in 2020. Long story short, we took that side project, made it a real company beginning of 2020, and since then grew to thousands of users, 1,000 paying customers, etc.
Let's dive into the MVP then. So that first version of the product you built, how long did it take to build and what sort of tools were you using to bring it to life?
Tim, my co-founder, he started to write the first code in 2018, end of 2018, and really built Checkly in public. He built it as an indie hacker project or project aimed to help indie hackers to really to understand how their applications are doing, and then started to talk about it, right? He started to talk about numbers, so revenue numbers, etc., but also about the technology that he applied to develop Checkly, right? And the first version was a very simple version hosted on Heroku, right? So it was a Postgres DB, was a very simple UI and enabled you to monitor APIs and later on also UIs, so websites, with a framework back then called Puppeteer. Tim was very vocal on Twitter about what he did, and that attracted the first users really. And then we started beginning of 2020 to iterate very quickly on the user feedback that we got. and adding more features, adding a framework that is called Playwright for test automation, which is now our prime framework that we're using to enable our users really to create tests.
So let's stay on that MVP for a minute. And there's a couple of things that you said that really kind of drives this question home. It's around decisions and trade-offs, right? When you're building an MVP, you've got to make decisions and trade-offs around feature cut, around how you're going to move forward, what sort of technical debt you're going to accept, all those things, right? I'm curious about some of those you had to work through and how you coped with the decisions.
Building an MVP never stops, right? So you're building new features, etc. And what we try to achieve is always speed. Release features to customers fast and get their feedback really fast, right? So we always try to identify who's a potential early adopter of these features. What is the actual core problem that they want to solve? And can we make trade-offs there? Are there a set of users that want to solve one problem with a subset of the whole feature set that we could potentially build? And once we understand that, we're going to release a minimal version of this feature set to users in an alpha with a feature flag. Then we're interviewing these users, try to understand, okay, is that a potential fit for what they really need, or is it maybe not? Do we need to go back to the drawing board? And this iteration can happen actually, and should happen, in 4 weeks, sometimes 8 weeks, so that we really fast try to understand, okay, is that what we're building here solving actual customer problems, or maybe not?
This message is sponsored by SnapTrade. Link in user brokerage accounts and build world-class investing experiences with SnapTrade's unified brokerage API. With over $12 billion in connected assets and over 300,000 connected accounts, SnapTrade's API quality and developer experience are second to none. SnapTrade is SOC 2 certified and uses industry-leading security practices. Developers can use the company's official client SDKs to build investing experiences in minutes without the limitations of traditional aggregators. Get started for free today by visiting snaptrade.com/codestory. This episode is sponsored by Speakeasy. Whether you're growing the user adoption of your public API or streamlining internal development, SDKs can turn the chore of API integration into effortless implementation. Unburden your API users from guessing their way around your API while keeping your team focused on your product. Shorten the time to live integration and provide a delightful experience for your customers. With Speakeasy's platform, you can now automatically generate up-to-date, robust, idiomatic SDKs in 10 languages and Terraform providers in just a matter of minutes. SDKs are feature-rich with type safety, auto-retries, and pagination. Everything you need to give your API the developer experience it deserves. Deliver a premium API experience without the premium price tag. Visit speakeasy.com/codestory to get started and generate your first SDK for free. Okay, so let's move forward then into how you're iterating and how you're progressing and maturing the product. I'm curious about that progression, and I'm also curious about how you build your roadmap, how you decide what the next most important thing is to build or to address with Checkly.
Building out your roadmap is really hard because you constantly have to make trade-offs. Essentially, there are four lists or voices that are influencing the roadmap. First of all, what are customers asking for? We have a public roadmap for this where you can upvote and hand in special feature requests. So we're constantly asking our customers to look at that public roadmap, and if they require a certain feature, please do submit it there. The second piece here is, since we grew a lot and have quite some customers and have responsible salespeople for it, so what are our salespeople asking for? What are they hearing from customers, listening to customers? I also try to be part of the customer conversations, like daily, to really understand, okay, what are my existing customers that are maybe using us on a larger volume really asking for, right? So that's the second piece of influence on our roadmap. There's another piece, right? So which is, what are our engineers asking for? Is there technical debt that we need to address? Are there things that we really should improve that our customers are not recognizing yet, but we might need to work on some scaling, etc.? Last but not least, a very important piece here is, what is our vision? Where do we want to go? And we have a list of things that we want to accomplish, and we will talk about that later in the future. So how do we carve out time for that? So essentially, we have these four items. Again, customers, then what are our salespeople telling us? What are our engineers telling us? And then what is our vision? We try to assign 25% of our teams to these four lists.
This will be interesting, and you kind of teed it up perfectly. I'm curious about team, right? So those people that you're assigning to those 25%, right, the 25% assigning to those lists, how do you find them? What do you look for in those people? How do you build that team? What do you look for in those people to indicate that they're the winning horses to join you?
As a startup, we want to have the best people in the world working for us. Checkly is a remote first company. So we have right now 45 people in 14 countries worldwide. The early team members, mostly people that we knew from before. We were lucky enough so that they joined an early stage company, even though they were very senior. And now it's all about finding people that are having a similar mindset, that are hungry for success, that wanna win. And they have the motivation pretty much to help us move Checkly forward and bring Checkly to even more users worldwide. First of all, we are very transparent, also in hiring. So we have a hiring playbook, which is public. It's a Notion page. We're publicly talking about our salary ranges, so you can look that up. Actually, we have a salary calculator, but we're also internally very transparent, right? So we're sharing KPIs, company KPIs transparently, talk about problems very transparently. Want to find people that are picking this up and solving the problems for us, right? Another thing that we're continuing to do is I'm interviewing every candidate still, really try to understand, okay, is that candidate a culture fit? Is he hungry? Does he want to win, etc.? Is there enough valuation? And in the end, to summarize that, will that person uplevel us? Will that help us? Will that help the existing team, etc.? So we're spending a lot of time in really finding the right people there. And I think we have done a really great job so far.
This message is sponsored by QA Wolf. If slow QA processes bottleneck your software engineering team and you're releasing slower because of it, you need a solution. You need QA Wolf. QA Wolf gets engineering teams to 80% automated end-to-end test coverage and helps them ship 5 times faster by reducing QA cycles from hours to minutes. With over 100 five-star reviews on G2 and customer testimonials from SalesLoft, Drata, AutoTrader, and many more, you're in good hands. Ready to ship faster with fewer bugs? Join the Wolfpack at QAWolf.com to see if they can help you squash the QA bottleneck. This message is sponsored by SnapTrade. Link in user brokerage accounts and build world-class investing experiences with SnapTrade's unified brokerage API. With over $12 billion in connected assets and over 300,000 connected accounts, SnapTrade's API quality and developer experience are second to none. SnapTrade is SOC 2 certified and uses industry-leading security practices. Developers can use the company's official client SDKs to build investing experiences in minutes without the limitations of traditional aggregators. Get started for free today by visiting snaptrade.com/codestory. This episode is sponsored by Vanta. You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. And obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors. But they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. And that's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups like yours get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. How, you ask? Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. And the platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including many Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/codestory. That's VANTA.com/codestory. Let's move forward to scalability. You know, given what you've built, scalability is critical, and who you're building it for is a very opinionated group. So I'm curious about how you approach scalability. Was it built to scale from day one, or was scale in mind, like, you know, abstractions, architecture, things like that? Or have there been any interesting areas where you've had to fight it as you've grown?
To be honest with you, we're constantly fighting scalability, right? And the more we grow, we are fighting scalability. Obviously, we're trying to think about how to scale our architecture moving forward. But then in the end, customers are surprising us, right? So customers coming with hundreds of users are then surprising us about certain edge cases. So I think about it in a way that we make it work, make it right, make it fast, make it scalable in the end. Techly is built to scale right now, but the truth is that we're constantly working on scaling these services and helping our customers pretty much to use Techly with a larger workload and rethinking certain features constantly. Because in the end, starting a startup, you can never really plan for the scale that will hit you. You might need to optimize for a certain amount of workload. You might need to optimize for hundreds of users, etc. And it's really hard to implement any product in a scalable way from the start. There's always time set aside to help services scale even better.
So as you step out on the balcony, look across all that you've built with Checkly, what are you most proud of?
First of all, the team. Really building a company with such a great team. Seeing the individuals in our team grow is really amazing, right? Seeing them over years constantly growing because the company is constantly changing, but also having lots of customers, having 1,000 customers that are paying you is a great milestone to achieve, to be honest. And as a European founder, I also have to say that us being able to open an office in New York, which we did this summer, is, you know, a great achievement as well. Last but not least, and maybe even more important here, is we call what we are doing monitoring as code. I said that earlier, and this is a category now. So our competition is talking about monitoring as code as well. Even Gartner and customers are coming to us because they want to adopt monitoring as code. That's really an achievement I'm very proud of.
Let's flip the script a little bit. Tell me about a mistake you made and how you and your team responded to it.
We had this vision of monitoring as code in mind from the start, right? And we knew that this is how we enable developers in the end at scale to monitor their products. But Checkly got early traction, right? So we had paying customers that came to us without even supporting monitoring as code. We started to solve their problems for months. Without even investing time into our vision. After almost 2 years, actually, we took a step back thinking about, okay, that's cool that we're having customers, that we're having paying customers, but what is the bigger problem that we actually want to solve? So we want to bring monitoring to developers. How can we do that? And we took that step back and really thought about, okay, we need to invest time into monitoring as code. So we need to set time aside really to work on our vision. And that's what we did. The first iteration wasn't great, to be honest. No one started using it. We kept iterating, and it took us a whole year to get a monitoring as code version out to the market, a command line interface that enables you to do all these things. In the end, I think our mistake was to not pushing the vision hard enough, not implementing fast enough, kind of what we had in mind to implement, because lots of customers came to us without even supporting that vision.
So, and you kind of are leading into this a little bit in the last part of your answer, but I'm curious what the future looks like, right? So you mentioned this earlier, some things that you want to go accomplish. What does that future look like for the product and for your team?
So what's our mission, right? So in the end, we help the developers to detect and resolve issues 10x faster. I'm waking you up in the middle of the night, tell you that your service is down, and that's pretty much it, right? I wake you up and then you have a look. What we want to achieve is we want to wake you up, but also right at that split second tell you where the problem actually comes from, help you to remediate the issue faster. And that's pretty much the next checklist product evolution that we're working on right now, helping you to understand, okay, there's a problem that's coming from my slow database. I have to look at this in the middle of the night to actually resolve the incident faster. The other piece is we have customers around the world, lots of customers coming from the US right now, and we're expanding the team there. So we're investing lots of energy there to help the customers on the ground.
Okay, let's switch to you, Hannes. Who influences the way that you work? Name a person or many persons or something you look up to and why?
I don't have an ideal, to be honest, right? So there's not that one famous person that I'm look up to, but I'm influenced by my parents, who were incredible, hardworking, and I'm influenced by their values, I would say, right? So I still have that in mind. And then I really admire people that are showing up consistently, that are putting the hard work in, you know, trying to get better every day, right? Maybe just a tiny bit and grow with the journey. And that's what I look up for, up to. Could be a team member, but this could also be another founder. That influences me on a daily basis. There's this saying that startups are a marathon, and I truly believe that. What else influences me is pretty much athletes putting their hard work in to succeed over time. So I really enjoy watching world-class runners and athletes, and it really inspires me how much work they put in the end, to win a certain race.
Hannes, last question. So you're getting on a plane, and you're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who's built the next big thing. They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world, and can't wait to show it off to you right there on the plane. What advice do you give that person, having gone down this road a bit?
So first of all, it's all about getting started, right? So I'm talking to lots of potential founders, etc., and lots of people always have ideas. I think you got to get started in the end. This is the most important step, building a startup. Second piece is, and I just mentioned it, it's a marathon. Everything takes time, and it takes sometimes longer than you or I would think, right? That's true for lots of businesses. And we always hear these success stories of a startup achieving 100 million ARR in 2 years, etc. That's the exception to the rule, right? So it really takes time. It takes a lot of effort. And the third piece is, especially early, if you want to do something remarkable, then most people will not believe in your vision. They will just not believe in it. And this is normal. You have to keep executing and maybe convince some early adopters, really forward-thinking people. 99% of your potential future users might not even believe that this is a problem that they need to solve. In the end, maybe I could summarize it as it's hard work, right? And then it's all about consistency and staying committed to the mission.
That's fantastic advice. Well, Hannes, thank you for being on the show today, and thank you for telling the creation story of Checkly.
Thank you for inviting me.
And this concludes another chapter of Code Story. Code Story is hosted and produced by Noah Laphart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
GEICO's motorcycle expertise means I'm covered by people who know bikes like I do. I'm happy as a clam.
Disclaimer, no conclusive scientific research has shown clams can experience happiness.
I just meant that I feel really good about my coverage.
I mean, even if you took the clam out for the best day ever, visiting the zoo, taking a scenic ride, knowing you're insured by specialists, and sharing a strawberry ice cream cone together, the clam would not feel happy, and your strawberry cone would taste sort of clammy.
Ew.
GEICO's motorcycle specialists who know bikes like you do assume no liability for clammy ice cream cones. GEICO. Expertise for your motorcycle.